Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are recording. Okay, so today's stereotype is about Islam allows slavery. Islam allows slavery. Okay. First of all, the first thing we want to say, or you want to know about Islam and slavery, that slavery was existing when Islam came. Slavery was already an existing thing. Islam had a strategy or the tactic to reduce the number of slaves or to like eliminate the slavery. This tactic is like a tank of water. It has one in and let's say three out. You have one out, another one out, and another one out. So what happens to this tank when you have one in, one pipe in, and three pipes out? What do you think? Is the water going to increase or decrease?
Decrease.
The water is going to decrease. Got it? So that's one thing we need to keep in mind, is that this is the strategy Islam did. There were a lot of slaves, and then to free those slaves all at once was very not practical. Like, it's very non-practical, because this was the fabric of the society. If you suddenly make changes, you are tormenting the fabric of the society. You agree with me?
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be done gradually. Okay. So what is the... So this tank is going to be empty eventually. Let's say what is in. What brings in slaves in Islam?
Huh? The triangular trade between the West Indies, Africa, and the United States.
The trade?
No, that's slavery in America. Yeah.
And Islam has one source of slavery, only one pipe bringing in slaves, okay, one stream only, which are prisoners of war, POW. So these are going to be prisoners of war. This is the only source of slavery in Islam. There's no other source. How about the ways out? The ways out are so many. Okay? If you want to do a charity, you buy a slave and free a slave. Got it? You buy a slave and free him. If you want to make up for days in Ramadan that you can't fast,
wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. There's a donation box for the orphanage thing, and you know, the winner, the class that donates the most money, they get an ice cream sundae party. And for this one, you can donate cash, coins, checks, and yeah.
When does it end?
It ends in next month.
Yeah, because all our food...
So I keep this box with me for every...
No, class. I'll come back at the end of class to pick it up, and then we'll bring it again next week.
Okay. So...
Yeah. Ask your parents, too.
If you want...
No, I have a question.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
What can the prisoners afford?
They come out of battles.
So if you win a war, then you take the people as prisoners. That's why they're called POWs, prisoners of war.
Yeah. So the first out is, and there was charity. Freeing a slave is charity. So you can pay charity, just go there and pick good slaves. And like the good slaves are the ones who can do well in society, like they behave, they are polite and things like that. And then you free them. The second out, you probably
make
the tank bigger. The second out is Ramadan.
To make up for
or fast?
Yes, to make up for Ramadan. If you can put it here. Okay, to make up for fast days. So the Ramadan days, missed Ramadan days, is another outlet. Third outlet, making a swear or breaking an oath.
To make up for breaking an oath?
Yes. So, breaking an oath. Sure. We're missing quite a bit of people, right?
Yeah.
How many?
Six.
Six people, wow. That must be...
Can you see that?
Yeah.
Okay. So now, breaking an oath. What else? Of course, when you break an oath, you need to fast if you can't. You free a chariot, slaves. Okay? And actually, it's the other way around. And feeding the people, right? There are so many ways to make up for for breaking an oath. You know, breaking an oath, they say, Wallahi al-Azim. I promise you, I'll bring you your book tomorrow. And then I don't. Then what happens? I broke an oath. Then I need to free a slave. Okay. So eventually, this tank will dry out. Dry out. Or dry it out. The tank will dry out. Got it? You got that example? So this is how Islam eliminated or reduced slavery. But so now also there is another way out, which is agreement between the master and the slave. Agreement between the master and the slaves. So what is that agreement between the master and slave? The
slaves could buy their freedom.
Yes.
If they earn enough money and the master pays them school, if they
earn
freedom.
Exactly right. So you can contract your freedom. Like you say, okay. Now, in slavery, you don't work day and night. You have a rest time, okay? Let's say your master is going to let you work, let's say 10, 12 hours. The best is your time to rest, okay? Now you can say to your master, okay, during the time of my rest, I am going to go work for other people, get money, and buy myself out. Got that? Buy myself out of slavery. Now, slaves' rights in Islam are really good. Like they have access to the court system. They have access to the court system. It's not like the abusive slavery where like you own the slave, you kill the slave, you whip the slave. Okay? And then they have access to the court system. And the Prophet said, feed them from your food. Don't just give them the leftover. Feed them from your food. Let them dress from your clothes. Dress them from your clothes. Feed them from your food. Okay? Now, What are the choices? What are the choices available for prisoners of war? Let's say, let's see if we can get rid of the if it is practical to get rid of the There are four possibilities. There are four possibilities for this prisoners of war. What are these four possibilities? So you got prisoners of war. What do you want to do with them? The first one, the first choice is? Huh? Is what? Kill them. Execute them. Execute them. What is the logic behind executing them?
So they don't rebel?
No. So they don't come back to fight you. Or like, to get rid of them. To get rid of them. To get rid of them, basically. They will be executed, can be executed to get rid of them. Okay, that's number one. Number two, free them. Or free them, let them free them in exchange of money. Like, free them in exchange of money.
Ransom?
Ransom, yes. So the slave will might like say, okay, I'm a rich guy, I'm going to buy myself out using $50,000. Or the family is rich, they say, we want our child back or son back for this much money. You right? So ransom. Now the problem with the ransom is that, this is the problem, is that they can come back to fight you. They can come back to fight you. I will watch the movie called Saving the Private Ryan or something like that. And when they let go the prisoner of war, the German prisoner of war, he came back and he killed the people who let him free, let him go. Got it? So in the Battle of Badr, example of that in the Battle of Badr, example of this, in the Battle of Badr, in the Battle of Badr, the Prophet and Abu Bakr opinion voted for ransom. Ransom. To free for ransom. And if the prisoner of war doesn't have money, then the ransom was to teach Muslim kids how to read and write. Like 10 Muslim kids how to read or write. Got it? Umar, radiallahu anhu, voted for executing them. Umar voted for executing them. His logic was, number one, if they catch, he said to the Prophet, if they catch me, they will, huh? If they catch me, they will what? If they catch us, I'm sorry, they catch us, they're going to kill us. So we kill them back. So it's fair to kill them back. The second logic was, they will come back to fight. They will come back to fight again. So the vote of the Prophet and Abu Bakr was majority. So Umar's opinion was not done. Guess Allah sided with which opinion? The Prophet and Abu Bakr or Umar? Umar. Surprisingly, Allah said a verse in the Quran saying the right solution was to execute them. Execute them. Now, Allah said you wanted to benefit from them. You wanted ransom. You wanted ransom. You wanted them to teach. You wanted to get them, get benefit from them. And you let them free, they come back to fight you. So you should have let go of this benefit and execute them. And this is exactly what happened. They came back to fight the Prophet in the next battle. Same people that were, they had no appreciation at all for this. Okay, so the third choice, which is my favorite, which is the third choice, was what? Huh. Any ideas? To trade them. To trade them with what?
Money.
No. To trade them with our, exchange them with our prisoners of war. Like, you let go our prisoners of war, we get let go yours. So exchange. Like the enemy might have prisoners of war for us, and we have prisoners of war for the enemy. So we say, okay, you free 10, we free 10. It's like this way, trade. That's my favorite way, but it doesn't always work. And then the final thing was to take them as slaves. To take them as slaves. These are the four choices in Islam. Now, in the old days, slavery was an exchange of prisons. You got it? You got it? And instead of putting them in prison, you what? You put them as slaves. That was an alternative. Why? Because if they are in prison, it's a waste. You have to feed them. You have to, they are isolated, they don't enjoy, they don't get to see Islam, they don't get exposure to Islam. But if you take them as slaves, they live with your family, they learn, they see your family, they learn Islam from your family, you got it? And they benefit, they work and they benefit the society. So they become a benefit to the society, okay? They are a waste and we have to feed them, right? We have to feed them, and they don't get exposed to Islam.
Does POW mean people of war?
Prisoners of war. You can, I go there and erase it. If you miss part, you can get it from online. All right, so this is in Islam. So that's the only prayer. Now, for slave men, before Islam, it was abusive slavery. In Islam, slaves have access to the court system and get fed. Did you write that? That they get fed from the same clothes? Okay. They have access to the court system. So like they can lawsuit, they can file lawsuits even against their masters. If the master's abusive, they file a lawsuit. And they, the judge will rule to, sometimes to the favor of the slave. If the master is abusive, and if the master says, you work 14 hours a day, and you go to the judge and say, oh, 14 hours a day, I mean, is too much, then the judge will weigh it and say, okay, how about 10 days? We'll compromise, and then we will say, okay, to the owner, don't let him work more than like 10, 12 days. You got that? So they have access to the court system. It's not abusive slavery. How about the women slaves? Before Islam, women slaves were taken as basically are made to be prostitutes. Are made to practice prostitution. Most of them. So, for example, if you have a female slave and you have a guest and you want to entertain the guest, you send him your slave girl to, like, you know, entertain him during the night. Yes. And you get another guest, you send them the slave girl. The master also abuse the slave girls. It's like she's a slave girl. She's like sex slave. They get turned into prostitutes. So that is that's before Islam. Islam, and when Islam came, Islam made the slave girls to be treated like wives. Like you treat the slave girl as you treat a wife. Like she marries you, I mean she marries someone else, or if you want her to be, if you want a mate with her, then you can't just like bring her, send her to somebody else. You got it? You understand what I'm saying? Okay. So if you want to mate with your girl slave, that's fine, but you don't send her to anybody else. It's, don't turn him into a prostitution, in other words. Oh. Got it? So that was the rights of women slave. If she gets pregnant from you, then you can't sell her. That's the rule. You can't sell a slave girl if she gets pregnant from you, from the master or from the lord. You can't sell her anymore. You can't trade her in the market. And then she is automatically will be free when you die, when the lord dies. She automatically becomes free. You got that?
So wouldn't she try to kill him?
Huh?
So wouldn't she try to kill him?
Well, she might. But, you know, she better not to. But there are... So they get treated almost like wives. Almost like wives. You don't send your wife to entertain strangers. You don't let your wife practice prostitution. Same thing with the slave girls. You got that? Got that very well? You need to understand this, because when I compare with the modern time, you will see a substantial difference between the modern time and the Islam way. Islamic way was way more superior to modern time. And I'll prove that to you. Now let's compare with modern time. Having explained the Islamic way of doing it, let's now do the modern time and tell you how awful is the modern time.
Could I erase your chart?
This one? Yeah, chart, yes. Now remember, jail is like slavery. So when you put people in jail, they are slaves, right? Their freedom's taken away, right? Freedom's taken away means slaves, right? So you can make them slaves who serve in the farm and or in the house and get exposed to your family and to Islam and to the Muslim society, and they may change their religion later or might become Muslims themselves. Or they might be freed in a charity or something like that. Now, let's say the modern time. In the modern time, let's talk about two examples, near examples. The first example is the Bosnia War. Bosnia War started 1991 or 1992 to about 1996. It's a war between Serbia and Bosnia. Tell me what happened. Anybody knows? Did you hear about this?
Serbia and Bosnia, they killed all the...
Serbia killed all Muslim Bosnians because Bosnians were Muslims, and Serb were Christians, so they killed Muslims in masses. I'll give you a movie to watch. It's called Behind Enemy's Line. It's called Behind Enemy's Line. Don't forget this movie. It tells you a story of an American soldier who went to take pictures of the mass killing of Muslims, massive graveyard, because it's a crime of war. It's a war crime. So, because why it's a war crime? Because they do that to the soldiers. Not to the soldiers, to the civilians. Got it? You don't kill civilians, period. You don't cut trees, you don't kill civilians. Okay? Or, you know, do any of those things that happened during the Bosnia War. So there were massive killing and massive graves that was photographed by the American pilot, and the Behind the Enemy's Line movie is going to tell you the story of Behind the Enemy's Line. Got that? So what would you get out of the story of Behind the Enemy's Line? Let me see who was awake. Huh? What is the... How is it related to the subject? Hello? So, Behind the Enemy's Line, where? Huh? We're related to... If taking notes will distract you, you don't have to take notes. Got it? Okay, so now, Behind the Enemy's Line, there's an American pilot. There are two American pilots. Their aeroplane was shot down by the enemies, the Serbian enemies. And they were trying to take pictures of the mass graves. You know what a mass grave is? Yes, they used to dig a big hole, kill 5,000-6,000 Muslims, dump them into the hole, put chemicals on them so that they dissolve fast, and then just cover the graveyard. Mass graveyard. Who was taking pictures of this was the American pilot. So Serbians shot him down because it's a crime of war. Yeah. So now they will tell you the story that one pilot was executed, the other pilot was able to get away with the hard drive that had the pictures. So these pictures used later to prosecute the leaders of the Serbian army as war criminals. Got it? So you will see that. So number one example is that massive graves. The second example is the Afghanistan war. What happened to the prisoners that they got from Afghanistan? They put them where? Guantanamo Bay. They put them as prisoners in Guantanamo Bay. Did you see how they're being treated there? Basically, they're put in cages, and their heads are covered with clothes. I will put the pictures online. The picture that shows what happens to these prisoners of war. Like, these are the Muslim prisoners of war that are held accountable. At they are being tied down and they put something on their nose so that they can't spit on the guards. Because the guards are giving them a hard time. So they want to, like, take revenge from the Muslim slaves in Guantanamo Bay. Do you hear about Guantanamo Bay at all in the media? So one of the homework is just, like, go read about the Guantanamo Bay. I'll give you the link in the homework. Yes, Guantanamo Bay in Panama, where the Muslims...
Panama?
Yeah. Yes, they took them there so that they don't qualify for the American law. Because on the American soil, American laws apply to you. So they didn't want to do that. So they take them into this military base, which is in Guantanamo Bay and in Panama, so that they can treat them really harsh, treat them harshly, without giving them the due rights. You got it? It's if you get when you are an American soil. All right? So now, in Bosnia War, what happened to the female? Guantanamo Bay doesn't have female prisoners of war. Because they captured mostly men from Afghanistan. They were the soldiers. They were almost all men. So what happened to the women then in Bosnia War? They put in rape camps. A rape camp. And they will be forced. They will be raped with guns, under the guns. And not only raped, but really abused very badly. Very badly. They do awful things to them.
Under the guns?
Yes. They rape them under the guns. Like a thread of gun. You put a gun to her head. Or, you know, or I'm going to shoot you. Or they bring two of them, they kill them in front of the rest, so the rest gets scared, and they just want to become submissive, they do whatever they want.
This is in Bosnia?
In Bosnia, yes. Yeah. Now, what do you think comparing these examples with the Muslim way?
I think the Muslim way is
more humane and more fair. Right? It's much more fair.
That's the only place they go to know where else they can go. The woman. They just automatically put them in the rape camps.
Yes. Yeah. With masses, and then at the end they get killed too. So basically, Islam elevated girl slaves from being forced to practice prostitution into being a wife, basically. Almost a wife. Okay?
Why is it almost?
Okay. Almost a wife because she still has a status as a slave girl. He can trade her in the market if she's not pregnant. Like, she can be sold in the market if she's not. She's treated like property. Remember, these are war women. Like women who went to war. Soldiers. Soldiers. So they are soldiers. So they were fighting you. So now you can trade them on the market if they are not pregnant. If they get pregnant from the Lord, then it's illegal to sell them on the market. And they become automatically free after the master dies. Of course, if you compare that to Bosnia, if you compare that to Guantanamo Bay, Islam is way more superior to these two examples. So that's how slavery came to Islam. Got it? That's the only source, and the prisoners of war, and there are so many outlets out of this. All right? Now, comparing the rights of the African-American slaves to the rights of a Muslim slave, a slave and a Muslim. Anybody have seen the episodes of the television episodes of the movie? Not a movie, it's an episode called The Roots, Conta Conti. Okay. The Roots, I think the movie The Prince, anybody saw the movie The Prince? Yeah. It's also about slavery in America, like when they got the black slaves. Conta Conti, that was the name of the slave. And when he came here to the United States, he was stolen. He was kidnapped. So, kidnap the slaves are haram. Kidnapped is haram. You cannot kidnap a slave. Kidnaps a free person and make him a slave. This is like one of the major sins that gets people into hellfire when they kidnap a slave and they sell them in the market, like they did with Prophet Yusuf, for example. So they actually, Prophet Yusuf wasn't kidnapped. He was found. But they used to, like the thieves used to come out, take the people, take their belongings, and then sell them as slaves in the market and take their money. So that's haram. But in the African-American slaves, the African-American slaves were kidnapped or hijacked. Yes.
Yes.
You know that? They were kidnapped. And Conta Conti was the African guy that was, he was a prince, and he was captured. They used to have like traps, like the way you catch the way you catch lions and the way you catch buffaloes and cows. Okay? You set traps for them, and they fall into it. They did the same thing with the Africans. The white people will go there and set these traps, and they catch those people when they fall into the traps, and they take them as slaves and sell them here in the United States. And those are, where do you think those African American all came from? They were the slaves. Okay? And they get stuck in this socioeconomic cycle that keeps them in poverty all the time. But anyway, back into the subject, is that they get kidnapped. In Islam, you cannot kidnap a slave and sell a slave. Now, when they get kidnapped, Conta Conti, when he was kidnapped, his slave wanted to change his name to Toby. They used to call the slave his first name, and the last name would be the owner name. So if Ilzini family will own a slave, then the name of the slave will be, for example, George Ilzini. Okay? So they used to do that. This is why Malcolm X, who knows about Malcolm X? Good. This is why Malcolm X called himself X. He said, my name, Shabazz, I think, was the family name, is not my family name. It's the name of the Lord who owned me. I don't know my family. So he said, my family is X, is unknown. You got it? So he said, Malcolm X. And he... No. Malcolm X, he was a hero. Watch the movie. He's a hero. And he died as shaheed at the end. And if I get a few minutes, I'll walk you through his story quickly. But now, he was beaten up to change his name to Toby. And then they will web him and say, what's your name? He says, Conta Conti. They keep webbing him. What's your name? Conta Conti. And after days of torture, what's your name? Toby. So now they do that to break down the slave, to break him down into subhuman, so that they can slave them. Okay? So they don't want a slave who's proud. Got it? So that was the American slavery. Now, slaves in the United States would be in the old effort. They don't have access to the court system. They didn't have the access to the court system. They didn't have the right to buy themselves out. And by the way, they were Muslims. They were Muslims. And we know that from the remains. There was a Muslim sheikh, and he came, he was kidnapped, and he brought to the United States, sold as a slave. He ran away to a lake, okay? If they will find him, they will kill him. So he ran away to a lake. He will go into the lake the entire daytime, and he has a straw breathing underwater for the entire day. And at night, He goes out and then he teaches Quran and Islam to the other slaves. Eventually they caught him and they killed him. So that's how rough were the African American slaves were dealt. Many slaves, many prisoners of war, they liked being slave in a Muslim country than a free person in their own land. Yes. Because they get so much access to the court system and fair treatment, they don't get them as free people in their own land.
Why not?
Dark Ages. You remember Dark Ages? The Dark Ages in the... Dark Ages, medieval.
Oh.
Yeah? And they... free people don't get the treatment. Free people don't get the treatment of slaves in Islam. So they will prefer to be slaves in a Muslim land and buy themselves out and become free living in a Muslim land. You know? Just like they're looking for freedom. Just this is the reason your parents and myself came here looking for freedom. And we got disappointed. But anyway, the... you got that? So the treatment. How about the girl slaves? They were treated again like property and they were forced to practice prostitution.
When was this?
Time of the slaves. Like what, 300 years ago, Mizina? 300 years ago? Or what? Slaves, yeah. 150 years ago. They're just like they were slaves in the... There is only very recently in the 60s and 70s that they freed the slaves. They didn't free them completely because, they put them in a socio-economic cycle.
Do you have anything?
No.
No, okay, I need to take the box back.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I got a few coins there.
Oh, sorry. It's
okay.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay. So now... So she gets forced to practice prostitution. If she's pregnant from the Lord can sell her easily. She doesn't become free automatically after her Lord dies or her owner dies. And there was so much harsher treatment than this. To the level that Allah says in the Quran that if you are persecuted in any land, like let's say United States, you have to quit Islam or leave United States. I'm sorry, you have to quit Islam or we will kill you. Got it? So choice, either quit Islam or kill you. Islam tells you that the solution is to immigrate out to another land. Get out. Where? To any land where there's no persecution. Got it? What happened then? What happens to the American Afro-American slaves? Okay, slaves, African slaves that were brought in America. What happens to them? Sleepy.
Yeah.
What happens to them? Huh?
American slaves.
Yes. Could they run away to a new land to keep the religion?
Yeah.
No, they can't.
They tried to, but
they get killed, caught and killed. They couldn't.
Trying to escape.
So this is why Allah makes an exception in the Quran that the ones who are being persecuted in their religion, they must immigrate. If they don't immigrate, they will be held accountable in the Day of Judgment.
What if they can't?
Yeah, they can't.
You just sacrifice whatever it takes and get out of the country. Like during Inquisition, you needed to get out.
No,
they got the period of time where they will let them out.
Well, if you get killed, are you still held accountable for... Because, you tried to get out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Whoa, you become a shaheed. Congratulations. That would become a shaheed.
Oh, okay. So
yeah.
You're
not
holding. So... If you're trying to get killed, but then they kill you.
Yeah.
You're not held accountable.
Yes. So they... So the exception is for the people who are can't leave. So Allah made an exception in the Quran, says except the ones who are stuck and they can't leave. Then they are forgiven. Okay? But others, if they can leave, then it's done. Allah tells them, why didn't you just leave? Ya Allah, we were slaves, we were caught. Why didn't you just leave? Now, what happened to the African Americans today? Are they still in slavery? Yes.
No.
Yes. In a different kind of slavery, though. Now, let me tell you about the slavery. They grow up in poor neighborhoods, poor schools, we call socioeconomic problems, and single parents. Single parents. And a lot of access to drugs. So by the time the African-American teenager, by the time he's 18, he's probably thrown in jail for a crime.
Well, that's a generalization, isn't it?
Huh?
But that's a generalization. That's a stereotype.
What is it?
That African-Americans have...
Oh, yeah, we don't? Okay, the exception will prove the rule to be true. You cannot use exceptions to prove. I've been to jails. Jails are 97% African-American. Rarely. I've been to jails, many jails. To teach.
Okay.
To teach Islam.
No, yeah, I know that, but like, she's scared.
Most, 97%. They live in the yard. They let out in the yard. They let them out in the yard. But here's the problem. Listen to this. The average, or most of the time, is that they grow in poor neighborhoods, get poor education. They are with single parents. And what?
Drugs.
By the time the kid is 18, he's in jail for life. He killed somebody. And then they are being the jury. The jury mostly is going to be white. So it's like one race judging another race.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Sometimes, not all the times, but many. Forget about California. Go elsewhere. I live in a town with the 99.5% of, in Evansville, 99.5% of the people are white. Only 0.5% other races. So the jury is going to be white, and there's a black person. So one race is judging another race. That's very unfair. But anyway, then they throw them in jail. So the African-American people said, hold on. You freed us from social slavery to put us into prison slavery. You got it? You got the logic?
Held accountable.
Held accountable? To what?
They're also like really, they have their crimes and everything, but they're also like they're always like in the top of like business and like music.
Aren't they like the best
and like entertainment and like even in like the business world, they're like the top of whatever there is. But then they're also the top of drugs. And
it's based on how they're raised, cause like.
It is.
It
is
the top of everything.
Yeah.
Like they're the top of crime, but they're also
two extremes. You mean either this extreme or that extreme?
Yeah. Like they're really good at stuff.
Right. Prisons are 97% African American. So they say instead of you freed us from social slavery, you put us into prison slavery. Thank you very much. You haven't done anything. You haven't done anything. Malcolm X was born and he became an activist before the civil rights laws issued, rights institution, and then he fought. He joined a group called Nation of Islam.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? And Nation of Islam was basically not Islam. It's just like God is black. It's black supremacy. God is black. Angels are black. Everybody's black. And the white people are evil.
Oh, yeah. I heard there was some society where everyone was like arguing that Jesus was black. Because, you know, he had fuzzy hair. And only black people have fuzzy hair. You know? So I'm like...
And the Chinese people will argue he was a Chinese.
What's that supposed to mean?
The Chinese Jesus is like that.
we don't know what he looks like, okay? Case closed, don't know.
No, we're saying you run into problem if you want to draw a shit picture of Jesus.
Exactly.
It's a huge problem, and that's why Islam says
so how do
no pictures. No pictures.
No, he,
because
no,
you run into a racial problem.
Exactly.
Are you going to make blue eyes, white skin, Caucasian, Jesus or what?
It's a really, it's like
so Malcolm X.
The tech, it's like legit. Like,
the tech
quickly.
Is the church on a mountain?
Quickly, let me finish these few minutes about Malcolm X's story. Malcolm X went to Hajj. When he went to Hajj, he was wild and impressed because he saw in Hajj, if you ever go, you see races from all over the planet, from all over the earth, from everywhere, different colors, all eating together and interacting together like brothers and sisters. So he was like, huh? He was eating from the same food, according to his own, to what he said. Eating from the same pot, sleeping in the same room with white Muslims. You know the white Caucasian Muslims from India? I'm sorry, from Europe? From Europe?
What they do?
From Bosnia? From Albania? From these countries? They were together. So he was so impressed. So he converted to the regular Islam that you and me had. Yes, and then he started establishing the motion, the movement of the true Islam among the African people. He was killed. But we owe him the fact that African American Muslims are true Muslims like us. We owe Malcolm X this. He's the one who did that.
Is Obama Christian?
Obama,
yeah.
Whatever, Muslim, Christian. But you got that story? So what did they do to Malcolm X?
They
killed him at the end.
Now,
Abdul Warith, Muhammad Abdul Warith, was the son of Elijah Muhammad. Elijah Muhammad is the founder of the Nation of Islam, which is not Islam, Nation of Islam. So when his son, Abdul Warith, used to love Malcolm X very much. So when Malcolm X went to converted to true Islam, Abdul Warith, when his dad, Elijah Muhammad, died, he converted all the black people into Islam. However, there is Louis Farrakhan, you know about him? Louis Farrakhan branched out and he kept few African American on the Nation of Islam principle. They right now disappeared. So all African Americans are either Muslims or something else. They are not Nation of Islam anymore. Nation of Islam disappeared. And God, all credit for that goes to Malcolm X. Malcolm X. He's the one who brought them into the true Islam. All right?
Yeah.
You have any questions? Yes. Read. Be.
That's why I was confused. I didn't know if you meant this document or something else. Because I just read
Yes, it is. That's him. Okay, he was a tough guy. No, Malcolm X? No. They denounced the Nation of Islam. Denounced the Nation of Islam that says that God is black and this black and, you know, angels are black, everybody is black, and white people are evil. So he went to Hajj and came back denouncing that, and he brought people to the true Islam that you and me practice. He went to Hajj to see what Islam is. Yes, and he was so impressed. And he came back. He came back, he converted to traditional Islam. And he said Islam will solve the problem of slavery. Because it does not. Islam is a colorblind. Islam is what?
Colorblind. That's the thing that's on fire, by the way.
Colorblind. Truly colorblind.
So he basically just like
trying to understand them. They completely messed it up. They taught us, the students, that he denounced Islam.
Nation of Islam.
The Nation of Islam. Basically,
yeah.
They completely messed up. It's as if they weren't even trying to understand.
Yeah. Watch the movie. The movie is really nice. I loved it. Malcolm X. Yeah, Malcolm X, the movie. Not Malcolm X, the documentary. Because the movie is entertaining. The movie is really entertaining.
So basically, his perspective totally changed after the Hajj.
Exactly. After the Hajj, he went and became... And to him, all the credit goes for any Afro-American who's Muslim, not the Nation of Islam anymore. Nation of Islam disappeared. Halas, done. All African-Americans now are either Muslims or something else. Yes. Either Muslims or Christians or... I didn't see any of them Jews. I saw in jail, I saw Christians and I saw Muslims. And I saw people who don't care. But 97% of the prisons are black people. Okay, literally. Yes, we can go. You can go.
He had a gun and then he shot a black man because he used the case that the man was coming towards him and about to kill him. But the black man for sure had no gun or any other weapon whatsoever. So the people who weren't white on the jury voted for the black man that the white man should be tried for this terrible crime. And then the whites on the jury, which was outweighed the other races, made the man go.
Yeah. You know that? I know this case. The guy's name is Russ. The name is Russ. His name is Russ. And the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, that's an organization, adopted his case and filed a lawsuit. After they whitewashed the case, and the guy got out with slap on the wrist, don't do this again, bad guy. Okay, so the National Advancement of Colored People dealt with this. You know what I'm saying? They sued them, they took them to court. Assalamu alaikum.